ABC Radio Australia.
Well, girls in the Pacific aged between 15 to 19 are twice as likely as boys to suffer illness and, in extreme cases, even death because of sexually transmitted diseases, many of them that are actually preventable. That concerning statistics being revealed in a new report that's looking at what causes long-term gender inequality across the region. And experts say that this is a crisis that needs to be addressed, with a response, though, that is led by young people. Our reporter Jordan Fennell has the story.
Dr. Elke Mitchell is a social researcher from the Kirby Institute here in Australia who looks at sexually transmitted diseases in the Pacific, specifically in Fiji. And she says a report they did last year with the Fijian Ministry of Health discovered statistics that alarmed her.
A recent study of pregnant women attending antenatal clinics, they found that 41% of women under 25 years had chlamydia, 13% had gonorrhea, and 12% had a co-infection. So what we see is really high rates of STIs in Fiji, and particularly chlamydia.
Chlamydia is a disease you can get when you have sex with someone who already has it. Both men and women get it. However, most people who have it don't have symptoms, and women are less likely than men to have them. But it can scar a female's fallopian tubes, which are where eggs travel through from the ovaries to the uterus. When the tubes are scarred, it means a woman can't have kids. And Elke Mitchell says that's not the only issue chlamydia can cause.
Pelvic inflammatory disease, infertility, chronic pelvic pain, poor birth outcomes if they're experienced in pregnancy.
It can also cause what's called an ectopic pregnancy, which is where an egg gets stuck in the fallopian tubes. And if this is untreated, it can lead to the death of both the mother and the baby. Fiji isn't the only place in the Pacific where this is happening. Associate Professor Helen Worth from the University of New South Wales says Samoa is also dealing with a chlamydia crisis.
So the major big issue with chlamydia is infertility. And there's been some research in Samoa that shows that those women who have had chlamydia are much less likely to get pregnant than those women that haven't.
A 2019 report on STIs from Samoa's Ministry of Health found there's been an increase in chlamydia in the country, with 23% of the more than 16,000 people tested being positive. But it also uncovered there'd been a rise in the rates of other STIs like syphilis and HIV. These kinds of statistics have long been known, but a new in-depth report has looked at the impact these stats are having on people's lives. And it's found that it's girls in the Pacific who are much more likely to be negatively affected by these high rates of sexually transmitted infections. The Burnett Institute study found that girls aged between 15 to 19 are twice as likely as boys to suffer illness and possibly even death. The Burnett Institute's Dr. Alyssa Kennedy was the report's lead author.
The first time we've been able to look systematically across all the Pacific countries, or the 15 that were included, and to look directly at the comparisons between girls and boys at different age groups. And this captures not just whether young people have an STI, but the burden of having a sexually transmitted infection.
The most prolific sexually transmitted disease in the Pacific is the human papillomavirus, also known as HPV. It's also deadly. It causes cervical cancer in women and is the second most common cancer in Melanesia and the sixth most common in Polynesia. While both men and women can get and transmit STIs, and they can lead to infertility in both genders, it's women, though, who have the higher biological risk than men. Dr. Kennedy says gender inequalities between boys and girls, as well as the lessons they learn about sex, are the major factors behind the high rates of STIs in the Pacific.
We know that around a third of young people in the Pacific have sex before the age of 18, but many, particularly girls, lack access to the comprehensive information, the health services and the supports they need to enjoy sex safely. So less than a quarter have comprehensive understanding of HIV and how to prevent HIV. And that's lower than compared to boys of the same age.
Elke Mitchell, who researches STIs in Fiji, says this is consistent with what she's seen in the country, and says an example of this is condoms not being used to prevent STIs being transmitted.
We know that young women, they tend to hide their premarital sexual relationships as a way of ensuring that they're seen to be respecting parental authority. and expectations around premarital abstinence. And then the hidden nature of these relationships really restricts young women from accessing condoms and their willingness to seek out advice. We also know that condom access is limited by cultural values that restrict open intergenerational dialogue about sexuality and reproduction. So in essence, young women have limited opportunities to discuss sexual matters and seek out sexual health information and support from adults. And these communication barriers can also inhibit young women from accessing condoms.
While Heather Worth, who's focused on the situation in Samoa, says it's a similar situation there and that one of the biggest issues facing women is the lack of people talking openly about sex.
People are very loath to go to their local clinic because they fear that, you know, it won't be confidential. So women tend to leave, you know, particularly young women, tend to leave, you know, let infections just occur and don't get them treated.
All three women believe that the solution lies in youth-led community programs beginning to have open conversations about sexual health. Here's Dr. Alyssa Kennedy again.
What is it about sexual and reproductive health services that they would like to see? How do they want to get information and what do they want that information to be about, what's most useful for them, and sort of trying to unpack some of the gender relationships, the norms, the community level barriers that stop them being able to have safe sexual lives.
Heather Worth says that if young women's voices aren't heard, then entire communities are impacted down the track. So she argues that everyone benefits from talking about and practicing safe sex.
I think it's really important, though, that those who have power, you know, understand that it's really important that women, as they get to reproductive age, that they don't suffer from infertility. It's a society that values children, that loves children. So it's really important that women, when they come to have children, are able to have them.
And while Elkie Mitchell agrees, she highlights that it's both genders who have roles to play.
So I guess this really means working with young women and men to co-design strategies to address STI vulnerability and really to enhance their sexual and reproductive health more broadly. It's really important to develop locally led solutions that acknowledge the support of peers and family and community networks in promoting young people's sexual and reproductive health and reducing their vulnerability.
That was the Kirby Institute's Dr. Elkie Mitchell, ending that report there from Jordan Fennell.